It wouldn't be an exaggeration to say that Pam loves her smartphone. You might say it's her best friend. She has apps that save her money at her favorite shops, apps that tell her when gas prices are going up and how many steps she's taken that day, and apps that tell her whether to wear a winter coat or a raincoat that morning. Instagram lets her share every moment of her life and peek into the seemingly perfect lives of the famous people she follows. She has up-to-the-minute reports from Facebook on all the amazing things her church friend email account contains 230 unread messages that beckon her with new deals, amazing vacations, and too good to miss opportunities. On top of this is the minute-by-minute news and entertainment reports that she fits in between all her other messages. All combined, it fills her day with alerts that flood her 2x5 smartphone screen. When something newsworthy hits, Pam is the first to know it's happening. But something else is happening to Pam. With every new post, tweet, text, or email she reads, she grows a bit more anxious. She is so busy trying to keep connected with all her friends on Facebook that she is losing her connection to the real source of peace and understanding. And she has become so occupied with trying to maintain the exterior that she has neglected the interior state of her heart. The messages from social media are clear. If you want to be liked by others, there are certain ways you have to look, think, and act. And all too often, these messages tell Pam that she just doesn't measure up. The enemy enjoys sending us messages like these all the time. He uses his own form of social media to invade our minds with thoughts that we're not good enough, or no one will ever love us, or everyone is against us. Exaggerated, overstated, inflated, irrational messages are the devil's specialty, and they are all lies. The truth is, no one's fate is sealed. No one is unloved or unlovable. Just look at the story of one of the women we read about in Mark's gospel. We don't know her name, but we do know her situation. Her world was midnight dark and hope for help black. Mark tells us about her. He said a large crowd followed Jesus and pushed very close around him. Among them was a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, and she had suffered very much from many doctors and had spent all the money she had. But instead of improving, she was getting worse. You know, such a condition would be difficult for any woman of any era. But for a person in the Jewish culture, nothing could be worse. She was physically exhausted and socially ostracized. She had sought help under the care of many doctors. The Talmud gives us no fewer than 11 cures for such a condition. No doubt she had tried them all. She had spent all she had. And to dump financial strain on top of the physical strain is to add insult to injury. But instead of getting better, she grew worse. She awoke in a body that no one wanted. She was down to her last hope. And that hope was a man she had heard about named Jesus. By the time she gets to him, he is surrounded by people. He's on his way to help the daughter of Jairus, the most important man in the community. What does she have? No money, no clout, no friends, no solutions. Even worse, to get to Jesus, she will have to touch the people surrounding him. If one of them recognizes her, it's hello rebuke and goodbye cure. There are so many arguments this woman could have formed in her mind as to why she shouldn't seek Jesus. So many voices she could have heeded as to why she should give up. Perhaps you found yourself in a similar place. You want to come to God, and you even take a step or two in His direction. But then you see the other people around Him. They seem so clean, so neat, so trim, so fit in their faith. And when you see them, they block your view of him. Satan loves to fill your mind with these comparisons. He loves to fill your mental Facebook page with posts that make you feel less than you are. He wants to fill your head with a swarm of anxious and negative thoughts. But the good news is that while there are many things in life over which you have no control, you get to choose what you think about. You occupy the control tower of your mental airport. The thoughts circle above, coming and going, and if one of them lands, it is because you gave it permission. And if it leaves, it's because you directed it to do so. You select your own thought patterns. The woman chose to believe that she could be healed. If I can just touch his clothes, she thinks, I will be healed. Her part was small. All she did was extend an arm through the crowd. What's important is not the form of the effort, but the fact of the effort. She refused to listen to the enemy's lies. She refused to settle for sickness another day. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Do not be deceived. A man reaps what he sows. If you want to be happy tomorrow, sow seeds of happiness today. Count your blessings. Pray. Spend time with encouraging people. If you want to be miserable tomorrow, then sow seeds of self-pity, guilt, and anxiety today. Assume the worst. Beat yourself up. Rehearse your regrets. Thoughts have consequences. So, if you want to be healed from anxiety, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Paul's point is simple. Anxiety is best faced by clear-headed, logical thinking. Here's how it works. You receive a call from the doctor's office. The message is simple. The doctor has reviewed your tests and would like you to come into the office for a consultation. As quickly as you can say, uh-oh, you have a choice. Anxiety or trust? Anxiety says, oh, I'm in trouble. Why does God have to let bad things happen to me? Am I being punished? I must have done something wrong. Well, if you aren't sick, you will be by the time you go to the doctor's office. There is a better way. Invite Jesus to speak into the problem. As Paul says, capture every thought. Make it give up and obey Christ. So lay claim to every biblical promise you can remember and set out to learn a few more. Grip them for the life preservers they are. Resist the urge to exaggerate, overstate, or amplify. Focus on the facts, nothing more. Pray and trust.